couple of things before we get started today. We have this coming Thursday an 18-hour prayer vigil. Starts at 6 o'clock in here in the worship center. 6 o'clock in the morning, we're asking you to sign up to take, takes you maybe a little less than an hour, about an hour max, to come and go through. We're going to have 7 stations set up around here. You'll come in through the ramp door, and we'll have a station over here. That'll be station 1, then just follow around for the 7 stations. But we really do want you and need you. We talked 2 weeks ago about being a house of prayer, right? If we're going to be a house of prayer, shouldn't we be praying? Well, at least 5 of you agree with me. We need at least 36 of you to agree with me to sign up for those sheets, because we have on the half hour, somebody starting every half hour from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight. So I encourage you, please be a part of that. See what God will do in and through our prayer time as we return to Him and as a house of prayer. And then also, I asked last week, next Sunday, we're going to be wrapping up the Return to Me series, and asked for you to, some of you, to send me a short testimony, just a couple of sentences of what it's meant to you to go through this Bible study, Return to Me. And I've received one so far. Thank you, Sue Ellen. I won't tell you who it was, but thank you for that. Appreciate that. We're getting that one. But I do want you to do that. I want to put a couple of them in my message. And then next Sunday night, if you don't send me one here, I expect you to stand up here and share your testimony yourself on there. But I'm going to be contacting all the leaders again this week. Sometime just asking as many of the leaders who will to share, and at least one person. I'd love to hear at least one person from every group just to come up and share something about the study. What it's meant to you personally, or just something that stuck out to you, or what the group meant to you, what the group event meant to you as you met together weekly to study. I was in another group last Sunday night. I've been trying to get to different groups and really enjoyed the time there. They may not have enjoyed it, but I enjoyed the time with them last week too. It's been just a great, great time. And then I guess before I forget it, I better say that Mickey, my mother, is here as well today, and she's sitting over here with my wife, and so I'm glad to have her with me. And she birthed and raised 5 children. I'm the middle of those 5, so naturally we'd always note the middle one is the best one, right? So don't tell the others, but we'll claim that one here today. But glad to have Mom with us. She's been with us this weekend. Glad to have her join us today. You see, the title of the message is Choosy Fathers, Choose Jesus. Some of you may catch that. You may know where that came from. A commercial years ago from Jif peanut butter, and choosy mothers choose Jif. Well, I think choosy fathers choose Jesus, and so that's what I want to speak on and preach on today. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 24, a few verses there in just a few minutes. So if you want to find Joshua chapter 24, we'll get to that. But the idea for creating a day to honor fathers actually began in Spokane, Washington. A woman named Sonora Smart Dodd had the idea, thought of the idea for Father's Day while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Having been raised by her father after her mother died when she was a young child, Sonora wanted her father to know how special he was to her. She says it was her father who made the parental sacrifices and was, in the eyes of his daughter, a courageous, selfless, and loving man. Her father was born in June, so naturally she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, in June. And they did it on the third Sunday, which just happened to be June the 19th. So exactly to the day, 112 years ago today, was the first Father's Day that was held. And then in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. So now you know the rest of the story, I guess, huh? But in my opinion, a Christian father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and unappreciated heroes of all times. I believe that being a Christian father is one of the highest callings that any man can ever achieve in his life. And perhaps one little boy said it best when he said, "Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much on the gift." Some of you men may have said, "What gift?" And prior to cell phone days, I know some of you younger people here today won't understand this, but prior to cell phone days, you know we had long distance calling. Do you know what day of the year the most long distance phone calls were made every year for decades, every year, the one day of the year that just far outnumbered any other day with how many long-distance phone calls there were, Mother's Day. Always, more long-distance phone. Everyone called their mother on Mother's Day. Now, Father's Day had its own recognition, too. Those of you that remember those days, remember there was a thing called collect calls? It's true. It's not George making it up. It's true. Collect calls, for those of you who don't know, collect calls were things you could actually call somebody and make them pay for it. And so that was the dubious distinction of Father's Day. There were more collect phone calls made every year on Father's Day. We love our mother, we're going to call our dad, but make him pay for it. And so those are the two things from days gone by that happened, but that's just our society, I guess, and the way that it works. But there are many different places that we could look to in the Bible for an example of a godly father. And one such father is without a doubt Joshua. And so we're going to look at that, a little bit of Joshua. We're going to look at, this is part of his farewell address in chapter 24, as he knows he's about to die. And so Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 18 says this, says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of our fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." Father God, thank you so much for this, your word, and for being able to gain from it, to learn from it, and to see how to live today to be godly men and godly fathers and a godly people for you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would have our hearts' attention right now. Speak to our minds and our hearts, that we would hear from you, your Holy Spirit, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. In our scripture this morning, we see Joshua. We see Joshua charging the children of Israel to obey the Lord, who had fought for them and had given them an inheritance of the land. We see Joshua warning them of the danger of apostasy by saying, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And I thank God today for fathers who follow the example of Joshua, who in spite of their riches, in spite of all their prosperity, in spite of all their inheritance, they still have the guts to say, "I don't care what the psychologists are saying. I don't care what trends may be going on in the world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I thank God today for Christian fathers who follow the example of Joshua and are not afraid to side against what mainstream media and others are saying about teenage promiscuity and the moral decline of our society. See, I thank God today for Joshua men who are not afraid to take a stand against what is wrong. And I thank God for men who, like Joshua, are not afraid to tell their children no when it's necessary. See, I've chosen today, I want to talk to you about choosy fathers because I believe choosy fathers choose Jesus. Verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua is saying it's time to make a decision. You can choose to live like the people during Noah's time, he says, and ignore God's warnings, or you can choose to live just like everyone around you, tolerate the moral decline, turn your head like it doesn't concern you, do what you feel is best. That's what society's telling you. Do that. But he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I love all of Scripture, but I love this passage for a couple of reasons. Here we have a choosy father who decided that in spite of what everyone else was doing, he was going to fear, to serve, and to choose the Lord God Almighty. This is part, as I said earlier, of Joshua's farewell address, and it's an excellent example of a father-child relationship. And I thank God for Christian fathers who, like Joshua, not only give us life, but also teach us how to live. I've known men over the years who have been Joshua men, Joshua fathers. I've seen examples of Joshua men in this church and in other churches all across our great nation. And I thank God for every one of them. God uses the father-child relationship throughout Scripture as examples, like we have in our text today, as a model to explain our relationship with Him. Jesus demonstrated that same relationship with His Father, the God Almighty, when He was asked how to teach us how to pray, when He taught us that when we pray to God, we ask, as Jesus taught us, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Why Father? Well, perhaps it is because of the importance of the relationship between a father and a son. There are lots of things that we could say about Joshua, but for the sake of time, I want to mention just two this morning. Some of you, wow, just two. But they're long two, okay. Two qualities that Joshua possessed that all men, all fathers would do well to emulate. First is Joshua was the priest of his home. We see in our text Joshua acknowledging his responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. Notice that it is Joshua who is doing the speaking for the family. His children are not young children because he's near 100 years old by this time. He declared their intent based on godly principles. Contrary to popular belief, you cannot go around calling yourself Joshua or calling yourself the priest of your home if you are not. Before you can consider yourself the priest of your home, you must first possess certain qualities. In order to be a priest, you must first be in close contact with God. And then there are required daily disciplines, spiritual disciplines that we must adhere to. And according to the Bible, did you realize that according to the Bible, that it is the family that was designed to be the basic educational unit? It's not the government, it's not the school system, it's not the church, it's the family. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, it says this, it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." He's talking about all the time. The scripture leads me to believe that Joshua was not out of order in speaking for his family. It leads me to believe that he was simply doing his fatherly duty to make sure that his children knew how to have a relationship with God and how to walk in the ways of the Lord. So even when everyone else may turn against him, he's saying, here's how we're going to do it. You see, it's been said that, as I mentioned, I think this a little bit earlier, it's been said that a boy loves his mother, but he will follow his father. So the question to you men and to me is, where are you leading your children? And I'm reminded of a touching story about a humble pastor whose young son had become very ill. After a bunch of tests, undergoing an extensive series of tests, the father was given the shocking news that his son had only a few days to live, a terminal cancer. The youngster had accepted Christ, the pastor said. So the minister knew that death would usher him into the presence of Christ, but his quandary was how to let go himself as father, and how do you share with someone so young that they only had a few days to live? After earnestly seeking direction of the Holy Spirit, he went with a heavy heart through the hallways of the hospital to his son's room and walked to the son's bedside. And when he got there, he read his son a passage of Scripture, and then he said a prayer with his precious child. And then afterwards, he gently told his son the doctors could only give him a few more days to live. And then he went on and asked his son a question. He said, "Are you afraid to meet Jesus, my son?" And blinking away the tears, that young boy bravely said, "No, not if he's anything like you, Dad." What a testimony. What a testimony. You see, I've wanted us to look this morning at choosy fathers because I believe choosy fathers choose Jesus. So fathers, be the priest of your home. Be the spiritual leader of your household. The second quality that Joshua possessed that I believe all men would do good to emulate is that Joshua had a plan for his family. Not only a financial plan or a safety plan, security plan, Joshua had a spiritual plan for his father. To me, this says that being a priest of the family is not enough. We are to be the priest of the family, priest of the household. But the Christian father must also have a plan for the spiritual life, the spiritual growth of his loved ones. Joshua said, "We," he didn't say "I," and hopefully my family will follow along. He said, "We will serve the Lord." When Joshua spoke, I believe his voice rang out with a sound of unity and authority. "Me and my house," he said. Here we have a sensation of togetherness, of unity. And I believe that the reason that unity was there was due to Joshua's godly character. They had watched, they had seen him, they knew how he lived his entire life in front of them. He set the example for his family. His faith was genuine, it was authentic, and as a result, his family said, in essence, "Whatever you say, Dad, we're following you because we know you're following God." They did not say it out of fear. I believe they said it out of reverence for his godly character. Through Joshua's example, we can see that when the family is united, it will endure the trials that come its way. Joshua presented a godly determination to persevere with his family. He was prepared to stand alone with his family if indeed that's what was necessary. Men, you and I need to determine if this example of Joshua fits into our peanut butter jar. Choosy fathers choose Jesus. We need more Joshua men, men who are willing to take up the banner of Jesus Christ, not just for our own salvation, but also for the salvation of our children. We need to take up the banner of Christ so that they see, they understand it. Those in our family, those in our church, and even those in our community around us. Spiritual Christian fathers need to follow the example of Joshua and be willing to teach a different set of rules to a community around us that is starving for a new direction. They're looking everywhere and they can't find it. You know why? Because we've kept it a secret. And we need to be sharing, we need to be living those godly lives more so than we ever have before to battle the evil forces around us. Christian fathers need to take responsibility for the spiritual welfare of their children like Job did. Not only Joshua, Job did. We read about it in Job. Job chapter 1 verse 5 says this. It says, "And it came about when the days of feasting had completed their cycle that Job would send and consecrate them, all of his children, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all, his children. For Job said, 'Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did every once in a while." No. "Thus Job did continually," always praying for his children. Parents, you know what that's like. Job was a prayer warrior for his children, but he went farther than just praying for them and consecrating them and offering sacrifices. Don't go out for sacrifices today. But unfortunately, not every child has a father like Job. Even in the Bible, we read of a priest named Eli who disgraced his calling because he did not rebuke his evil sons and he did not take responsibility for their spiritual welfare and what they were doing, the evil that they were doing inside God's house. Fathers, I tell you this morning that you are responsible for the spiritual condition of your children. You can't make that decision for them. They have to make the decisions, but you are to guide them, to bring them along. And regardless of their age, continue pouring into them as their mentor, as their spiritual leader, as the priest. Your wife will certainly help you. And she'll work with you, but you're ultimately responsible according to what Scripture tells us. We must never shirk that responsibility as Eli did. Instead, we must be active like Job in the lives and the spiritual development of our children, teaching them at all turns how to serve the Lord. Turn the TV off a half an hour early at night and pray for your family. I know my wife, we're talking mainly about Father's Day, but my wife, she works from home now, but before that, she would spend most of her drive to work every morning praying for every person in her family, calling each one by name for years. You can find time to pray and pray more for your family. But what this means, too, for the men of our church is that we are responsible for the spiritual condition of our children here in the church, whether they're your birth children or not. We cannot leave that to the women alone. I've been saying for years that we should have at least one man in every classroom of children from youth on down. They need that male spiritual influence. They need to see and to hear that. For some people, children to come in off the street, they'll never see it if they don't see it here. And yet, I believe too often in the church, we think that's woman's work. That's their place. Let them serve the children. We need to take that responsibility. The responsibility that God has placed upon us. And we need to not only take that responsibility, we need to make it our joy. It is to be our joy. Not something to shirk or to accept out of duty or out of guilt. It is and should be our joy. Why? Because choosy fathers choose Jesus. Christian fathers, do your children know by your actions that they are special in your eyes? When was the last time you told them that you're proud of them and guided that towards God? Do you tell them you love them no matter what their age is today? See, other people will be their friends, other people will be their mentors, other people will be their coaches, but no one else will ever be their father. Only you can fulfill that role. They need the physical, spiritual, and emotional provisions that God has instructed you through His Word to impart to them. Yes, put food on the table, that's your responsibility. Guide them in their spiritual maturity, that's your responsibility. Provide a framework for emotional health. That, too, is your responsibility. But if you are a Christian father, it's not only a responsibility, it's not only a duty, it should be your joy. It's your joy to share with them, to help them in all those ways. You see, no matter how dark a night may seem, a Christian father knows that the darkest nights are always followed by the brightest days. No matter how difficult the challenges, a Christian father knows that the heaviest burdens are always followed by the greatest blessings. No matter how appealing the world offers, a Christian father, no matter how appealing the world offers, a Christian father knows the strongest temptations are always followed by the decisive moment of triumph. And no matter how oppressing matters seem, a Christian father knows the worst battles are always followed by the sweetest victories. Men, you are to be the priest of your home. You are to daily draw closer to God each day, and He says that He will draw closer to you. What plan do you have for your family? Not only a financial plan, a spiritual plan. What kind of spiritual plan do you have for your family? A plan of responsibility for the total well-being of your family members. Even after long after they've moved out, perhaps got their own family, they're raising their own family. What will you do to continue in that plan? Women, are you allowing your husband to be the spiritual leader, the priest of your household? Are you lifting him to that position? Are you allowing him to lead and supporting him in his leadership of the family, encouraging him in spiritual leadership. Children, teenagers, talking to you for a minute now. Are you showing the respect and reverence to your father that he deserves and that God has commanded you to give him? When was the last time you told your father you loved him? Not only with your words, when was the last time you told your father that you loved him with your heart? Are you fully committed to God and to your family? My prayer is that today will be a Father's Day in your family that is unsurpassed by any previous Father's Days you've celebrated. So let me ask you this morning, everyone, men, women, teenagers, children, are you living your life with a commitment that is pleasing to God and drawing near to Him as a family? Are you really committed to God as a family? Are you sharing your faith, studying the Word, praying, being faithful to the church, the bride of Christ? What example are you setting in your family, and what example is your family setting for others in our church? This morning, I believe God is calling each of us to be fully committed to Him, because He will not do everything that He desires in your life until you become fully committed with your life. Men, God is challenging you this morning to take the next step, whatever that is, because no matter where you're at and how close you are to God, there's always a next step. You know how I know that? Because you're still breathing. There's still a step that we can draw closer to God. And there's no excuse that you and I can make that will cover up our lack of commitment or lack of service to Him. It does not matter where you are in what level of commitment you are to Him. There's always a next step. And so we're going to enter into our time of invitation, and the altar will be open. This altar is open for anyone who will honestly say, Lord, I haven't really been serving wholeheartedly like I should. I've let things get in the way. I've let life get in the way. And I want things to begin to change today. The Lord knows. The Lord knows there's going to be some struggles. The Lord knows there's going to be some issues that you'll have to deal with. But God will help you through all of them. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we enter into this time of invitation. It's God's invitation for you to respond to Him, to be that godly father or that godly wife or a mother or child, whatever that is. God wants you to respond to Him. And so take heed to His invitation. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You right now. We pray that You would be with each one of us and help us in this moment. Lord, we know that Your Holy Spirit's been here and Your Holy Spirit is speaking in hearts. And so I pray that it's not what Your Holy Spirit has or has not said that we've heard, but that we've honestly paid attention to Your Holy Spirit. And as You've laid things on our heart this morning, that we would now come and say, Lord, here's an area where I need to improve. Or you may just come to the altar and say, God, I don't know that I've seen any particular area, but I just know that to draw closer to You, I need to draw closer every day so I can help my family to make sure they're staying close to You and drawing closer to You. Father, I pray for those here today, may not be fathers, maybe mothers, maybe single women, children, teenagers, but through Your Holy Spirit speaking to them this morning, they've realized something in their life. Lord, I pray that we would come to the altar and share. Just share it with You. You don't have to share it with me. If You lead them to, then that's great. Father, there's someone here today that says, you know what, all that sounds good, but I don't know about heaven. I don't know about going to heaven. Never thought about that. Or maybe I've thought about it, but I've never made that decision. I'm not sure if I know how. Encourage that person to step out and come and speak to me or to Johnny or to someone else, so that we can share with them how they can know for certain before they leave this place that they have an eternity with You as Father, loving Father in heaven. God, be with us all right now. May we respond as You lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.